The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Survivor Update podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am joined this week by the wonderful Matt Hoffman of Big Brother 12. How are you doing, Matt?
Good. How are you? Good to be here. Talking Survivor.
Talking Survivor. Yes. I've got a lot of Big Brother people that I know who are big Survivor fans as well. And I always like talking to you, Matt. So I thought I have to get you on to talk about Survivor.
Yes, I'm sure I have a lot of great strategic input to give you on this game that I'm an expert of.
Hey, as far as I'm aware, Survivor has not had a brigade moment.
That's true,
right? They've had alliances that have stuck together, but I feel like the secret alliance part of it not as valuable in Survivor.
You know, I know Hayden Moss. He was on Survivor.
There you go. Yes, so, did very well.
I don't know if you know that.
You know, he almost took out Tyson, right?
Yeah, he did. An old friend of mine, an ex-Hoffaween attendee.
There you go. So we are here to go through and do a deep dive on the episode that we saw last night for Winners at War. This is just a crazy season to begin with, Matt, that we have all winners. Could you imagine Big Brother doing something like this?
That would be not as good. I like that Survivor did it. I do. I don't think it will work out as well, Big Brother.
Why is that? Just not enough?
I think our winners are kind of goofier a lot of the times. I think Survivor winners like win, like they work and they win. And if you send them back in the house, it's just going to be another like round of increasing, you know, social media followers and things. I just think it's different.
It is a little different. I think there's more variance in Big Brother. So you're more likely to see a winner that maybe got a little lucky than Survivor, which is like a lower variance game. So the higher skilled players are going to come out on top a little more often.
Yeah. Survivor. This seems like, I feel like in Survivor, you'd have a higher propensity to vote out. I mean, it's still pretty early in the season, but it seems to be going down this road to vote out like the big dogs. And I don't know if in Big Brother, you would do that as much. Like it wouldn't matter maybe as much, I feel.
Yeah, I think that's true, too. And I think we're seeing some of that happen here where there's a lot of incentive to vote out these huge big players, big targets in Survivor that on Big Brother, not as much incentive to do that because, you know, anybody can win power and having big targets is even more valuable than in Survivor. Matt just threw his phone away. That's why we're all good.
So unprofessional on my part. I'm sorry.
I think the games are very different in that sense, and I think that we're seeing the result of it. We're seeing big players being knocked out week after week. Ethan wasn't necessarily like a huge name, but he left because he was attached to huge names. Amber, same thing. She was attached to big names. Natalie was a pretty, a decently big, not like a super big name, but she was, has a reputation for being.
She
really
was a good.
Good
player. She was, yeah, exactly. I thought she was a good winner.
Exactly. And so, and then you, of course, have Tyson and now Boston Rob coming out right after one another. So I think that we are seeing a situation where, and Tyson was talking about this during his boot episode, and now we're hearing Tony and Sandra talk about it, that the lions are going to get attacked by the hyenas. We've seen this in basically every all-star season of the show. And the lions never seem to learn how to stop it.
Is it, see, I've never seen an all-star of Survivor. So this is all kind of like new to me.
Well, yeah. Well, I think part of it is like the, like I said, like on Survivor, all you need is a majority amount of votes. And it doesn't really matter. You can vote out whoever you want. You know, idols matter, advantages matter, but it's not, there's not as much incentive to keep around big targets because you're in control. You can maintain control a lot more easily in Survivor than in Big Brother, where anybody, any random one person can just win power. So
I feel like, and maybe this is something about the contestants or just the nature of the game, but I feel like in Survivor, or maybe I'll just start with Big Brother. Big Brother, there's a lot more maybe chaotic decision-making or manic decision-making things. It might just be a little like off kilter. Whereas Survivor, I feel like the decisions, it makes it in some ways, oftentimes, this episode is a great example. I thought was very predictable because the decisions that are made are like, yeah, I would do that too. And I get it. And it follows a sensible pattern as to why you would do this. Big Brother, I think it kind of flies off cliff sometimes.
It does. All right, let's dig into the episode. So I like to just go through it with a fine tooth comb and try to like pick it apart. So we start the episode off on DeCall. Nick is going to get his third confessional of the season. and he's going to talk about how he feels good. That he feels good. Tyson is gone. We see him in the tribes, like on the beach, and Sarah says, "Hey, don't get too cocky. Don't get too cocky, Nick." But Nick is telling us he's glad that Tyson is gone. But the fact that Tyson left him a fire token actually changes his opinion on Tyson. And he feels like, you know, I would have loved to work with Tyson. So maybe that situation will come back up in the future. I actually, in the previous podcast for last week, I said I thought this was a good move on Tyson's part, whether it was intentional or not, to give the fire token to the guy that he was going against, because that's the guy who he has most to worry about if he does make it back into the game. And now it does seem like Nick is primed to not, at the very least, not go after Tyson immediately if he comes back into the game.
Do you know more about these fire tokens than I might? Like, what is happening with them? I feel like we've amassed this collection. They've been used like, what, once or twice. Someone's used like a fire token to get something. And Natalie, the other episode's like, look at me. I'm like queen of the world with my three fire tokens. Like, really? Yeah, who gives a shit? Like, no one's doing anything with these things. At what point do we know, like, is it going to benefit you to have like 10 of these? Or if you have two, are you pretty cool? And like, you're fine. You got a couple fire tokens and we're good. We don't even know, right?
It really is. It really does feel like they're continuing to promise us, like, don't worry, this is going to pay off. But for right now, it doesn't really seem to have much impact, because every advantage has so far only cost one fire token, and everybody started with one. There's never been an instance where somebody's been like, man, I could really use something, but I don't have enough fire tokens for it yet.
Yeah, I'm skeptical. This is like coronavirus. Everyone's freaking out about these fire tokens. Really, it's like, who cares? Like, they're nothing. They're not doing anything. They affect like a couple people. Some people are getting benefits from the fire tokens, but by and large, I don't know.
Well, maybe like the coronavirus, it will eventually have a massive impact on the game.
Exactly. Maybe these are just like the coronavirus.
Exactly. I think that like what we're seeing here, that on Extinction, they matter because when it comes time for them to compete to come back into the game, they can buy advantages in the competition, right? So, you know, if Natalie has four fire tokens, she can buy an advantage that gives her a leg up and she has a better chance of coming back into the game.
Yeah, sure, maybe.
And then also maybe at the merge, that you can buy advantages in the immunity challenges, like individual immunity, you might be able to buy advantages for. Maybe, I don't know. We'll find out, I'm sure. But hopefully they do come into play at some point, because there's a lot of talk about them.
Yeah. It's like the whole crux of the season.
Yeah.
And also the fact that you don't really totally know what they are, but you still have to dish them out and bequeath them.
Yes.
It's hard to, you don't even know what you're doing. It's kind of just like blind strategy in a way, sort of.
Yes. I'm glad that you used bequeath. Bequeath is the right way to describe it. So anyway, Nick feels good about Tyson, that the fact that he left him that token. This could be my bias because I love Tyson. I really feel like he's got a good shot to come back into the game. Not only does he have a good shot to win just based on he's a very physical, capable challenge competitor, but I also feel like there's a lot of there's a lot of threads here pointing to him coming back in. I don't know. I just, I feel it.
I didn't know anything about Tyson until probably less than a month ago. I watched that season he was on for the first time ever, his first season. And I instantly love the guy. And I love him now in this season as well. So I do hope he comes back. He's a badass competitor, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think he's one of the better competitors that we've seen on the show. Now, he is. It's been some time. He's not necessarily in his prime anymore. But we'll see.
Who is Darren?
Yeah. So we also got a scene from Yule about Penner, and this was just devastating. This Yule is describing that the situation with Penner, that he feels very comfortable with his tribe. He feels comfortable talking about this now. Jonathan Penner was originally on Cook Islands and played with Yule. Infamously, Yule was the one that got Penner to flip, and that allowed Yule to win the game, essentially. And Penner came back, played two more times, never won the game, but his wife is struggling with ALS, immensely struggling with ALS, and it chokes Yule up to talk about it. Yule has said outside of the show that if he wins, he is donating all of the money to ALS research and to help out all of that stuff, right? So and to help out to Penner, I don't know if some of it's going to Penner or some of it's going to, I don't know, I didn't know the details, but he's not going to keep any of the money is what is the bottom line here. I thought it was interesting that we did not hear that on the show.
That we did not hear that he was going to keep any of the money, that he was not going to keep the money, that he was going to donate it. Yeah, I don't know. He's, it's super cool. I'm glad it's probably going to, I assume Penner's wife is going to be helped out enormously just by this airing as it did. Yule's kind of like the good guy Hoff, because we both tried to help wives named Stacy, but he just really was helping a wife named Stacy. I fucking was a terrible person.
Yeah.
So I hope he does it right.
We scheduled this podcast weeks ago. The irony of having you on this podcast did not elude me.
The Hill Stacy wife. They're just all over reality TV. But
for those that did not see Matt's season, he went on to Big Brother with a big lie, which was that his wife had an illness that did not really exist.
No. Alas. So good luck, Yule, because hopefully this works out. It's cool, though. It's great. And again, I do think it's all good for the whole situation just in general. I saw some GoFundMe links and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Yule has tweeted out a link along with many other Survivor contestants that you can go and you can donate. Yule said he is actually matching the first $50,000 donated.
That's great.
If you haven't seen that yet, check out Yule's Twitter. You can find the link there and you can donate as well. I gotta say that just hearing him talk about it was emotional enough. And then they cut to commercial and you see Penner there with his wife.
Oh, that's crazy. That's impactful.
It's unbelievable. It's so devastating. Hopefully, you know, anything we can do to help out in that situation. That's it's so awful.
It is. But it's good they addressed it. I will take this time to let your audience know that the disease that I made up for my Stacy at the time, I do associate all of my Amazon purchases to donate a portion to that fund. So I have turned into quite the charitable saint since my stint on Big Brother.
Yes, there you go. All right. So
okay, let's bring this around here.
Yes, let's bring it back to Survivor. We get to the swap. They're back on that little island that they started on, and it's time to swap tribes. Now, again, we saw a big reaction. We haven't seen many big reactions yet to like who got voted out. Even when Amber was voted out, it was mostly just Rob just being like, but when Tyson is voted out, people are like, whoa. Big reaction to Tyson. And then Jeff says, it's time to drop your buffs. It's time to swap tribes. Rob is telling us in confessional, he does not like swaps on his first season. I thought they were going to say he does not like swaps because the last time he was swapped, his wife, his soon to be wife, got swapped by herself onto another tribe. And it took a lot of work to keep her around. But he actually references Marquesas, where he was also screwed by a swap. He said he was in complete control on his tribe on Marquesas. Then they swapped and he was at the bottom. And this is obvious foreshadowing to what's going to happen in this episode, where they had indicated that in the prior episode he had managed to get back into the good graces of Jeremy and Michelle, and that Adam would have been the one to go out had they gone to tribal. And so theoretically he was in a good spot on his original tribe, and now is going to be swapped onto a tribe with Adam and Ben, the two worst possible people from that tribe. And that's not going to end well for him.
Yeah, honestly, and we can probably get into this as we go on, you know, in more detail, but I'm the type of person where I don't remember a lot of specifics about anything, but I'll remember generalities. And I always remember, I watched Boston Rob seasons. I remember always thinking he was like really, really masterful and did a good game. I thought he was deserved in whatever ranks he attained. But I think this was just very sloppy gameplay, not well played this episode, just the way generally his positioning and then getting in the position in the first place that he was in and then handling it throughout this episode, I think was just not, it all really led to him getting evicted, I think, in a very obvious way.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that I'm interested in talking about, because I've seen a lot of discussion around this, and we'll talk about it as it comes up for sure. We hear from Michelle that the tribe that she got swapped onto, that she is now on an island with her ex-boyfriend. That is Wendell. Her and Wendell dated briefly. She says,
Taryn, this girl, I don't know who she is. And what a Looney Tunes. Do you know her?
I mean,
I saw this season. That she was on. I don't know anything about her.
I mean, her
but boy, so, Wendell, her, head for the hills. This guy, he definitely got out when he should have. Wow. Oh boy. What's with it? Was she a goofball on her season too?
So her season, her original season she was infamous for being a very under the radar winner that there were people who read the edit that saw that she was going to win. And a lot of people were like, what are you talking about? I don't even know who she is, who didn't read the edit. And so she had a very controversial win, and that she's been talking about that this season, that a lot of people didn't think she deserved it. She's now on this. She dated Wendell. And I got the opposite read on Wendell and Michelle. It definitely seemed like it was being portrayed that Wendell was kind of the one at fault here, and that she was just kind of burned by it and now is stuck on an island with him.
Okay. Yeah, to that, but they they have her with an axe, like talking to him.
I mean, wants revenge.
They make sure to edit every time she calls him babe. They make sure not only like make sure to put that in the caption. I mean, they make her out to be like the loony ex, and they make him always like he could give a shit less. He has no concern. He doesn't even think about her.
And you get the crazy
scene with her and the poverty chick, and you know, like, oh, let's go give him some, you know, let's go swimming. Like, she thinks that, like, she has it in her head that he even acknowledges her existence and he doesn't. And she, I think, believes that she's not totally obsessed with him, which she super obviously is. This is like, whole thing is fascinating. I hope this whole continues to play out over the season, because she is bonkers crazy. And this guy is in for some trouble. He got dead. Whatever he did to her, I don't know what he did, but it's a good thing he did it to get out of that relationship.
This is why it's great to have you on. I get a large variety of guests, and the fact that you're calling her that Parvati chick, that's a very unique perspective.
I don't know. I've been seeing her other seasons. I don't believe everyone seems to like her. Nick's got a huge boner over her. I don't really know her well enough.
Yeah,
well, she seems like a nice lady or whatever.
You didn't have a crush on her in high school. That's the problem.
I didn't.
Yeah. She says she's hoping that they can work together, and that their relationship on the island will turn out better than their dating relationship did. We hear Nick say that he's glad he didn't get green, which is the new tribe Yara. We hear from Adam that he is not happy with the swap, that, this is a very rocky trio, and, this could be really terrible for his game. Now, the Yara tribe that Adam is talking about was Adam, Ben, Rob, Sophie, and Sarah. Nick was swapped onto the tribe with Wendell, Michelle, Parvati, Yule, and himself. And then the other tribe, the new Dakal tribe, is Tony, Sandra, Kim, Jeremy, and Denise, which I think is a really interesting combination of people as well. Some interesting tribes, but I will say Dakal with amazing swap luck here. They have a majority on two of the three tribes, and the one tribe where they don't have a majority, they had Sarah with a steal a vote, which basically gives them a majority by itself. Plus, the three of the old Sele tribe that were on that tribe, none of them like each other or trust each other. So, as we see, she didn't even need to play the steal a vote. That's how dominant a position Dakal has based on this swap. That takes some serious luck.
Do you, when you, that whole thing you just said, when you're reading all the tribe names and the people in them, do you do it off memory or do you have that written down somewhere? Because that's remarkable. If you just, the tribe name?
I thought about writing it down, but I thought it would.
You just did that?
I thought it would take too long to write down and I knew.
You are a professional, sir. I was honored to be on this podcast. They're the tribe with the two girls and the Boston Rob guys. That's a gimme, I think. And like as soon as they lost the immunity, you immediately must know Boston Rob, I feel, is going home.
I felt the whole episode, I felt like Rob was gone. And it completely confirmed to me as soon as they lost immunity that it was going to happen. I thought, yeah, this was a very straightforward episode in that regard. But we still have some stuff to talk about. New Dakal over at the red side of the tribe color spectrum.
Let's do that. Do the colors. I don't know the name.
I started with the colors, but I eventually learned the names. So Jeremy loves the new camp. I thought this was very funny. It felt like they really were focusing in on like how much better Wendell is than like Rob at building shelters, because Rob is kind of infamous for He's kind of respected as like a good shelter builder.
Isn't he a construction guy or something?
Right.
Isn't that true?
And right. And so to the point where like Rob has that tiki toss, I guess it's called, game where he has the ring and he tries to like hook it on the thing. Wendell made one of those too. There's totally like a very under the radar like shelter contest happening between Rob and Wendell, and Wendell apparently is dominating it.
It's good. Maybe that was some of the contention that broke up him and that kooky chick was,
too good at building shelters.
Too aggressive. He's building, always building things in their apartment.
Jeremy loves the new camp. He says he's coming in down on the numbers. So what he needs to do is find out who's on the outs. He needs a nice tall beer of information to quench his thirst for knowledge. Jeremy really coming in hot with all these, like, he was talking about how knives would be stabbing a couple episodes ago. I didn't realize how eloquent he could be. In certain ways, in the confessionals.
Do we know how old he is? He's not super old, is he? He talks kind of like a crazy old man sometimes.
I don't know how old Jeremy is. He looks the same.
He does look the same.
When, like, all of his seasons, he's looked the same completely. So he's 41 years old.
Wow, he's younger than me, a strapping young lad.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So... So he connects with Kim on the tribe. He talks with Kim. Kim is the person that it was kind of on the outs. And Denise is also going to connect here with Kim. They talk to each other. They say they'd love to work together. It seems like Denise is trying to perhaps move from Adam to Kim, which is certainly a shift in Alliance members. She says she hopes that that Kim will either pull her in, basically like pull her into the majority, leave Jeremy out, or that she will step out and come in with her and Jeremy. Those are the two options. Either way, she's good as long as she's safe. She does have an idol, but she realizes that they are on the outs. Kim also has her full idol. Sophie did give back the other half, so Kim has a full idol as well. We then hear from Tony about the lions, right? He talks about
hyenas, the lions. I love Tony. Do we like Tony? Are you Tony? You're Tony. I love him too.
He says he wants to keep the lions in the game. He doesn't want to get eaten by a hyena. That would be no good. He says in every tribe of five, there's always one person in the middle. That person I know is Kim. And so Kim is the person he needs to convince to keep around other big targets. Kim says she's agreeable to Tony in the moment when he's pitching that to her, but she's not sure that to call strong is the best way forward for her. And so Tony and Sandra are the people she felt she had the least amount of trust with on her original tribe. And she feels like she's developing a good bond with Jeremy and Denise. So this could end up being in a really good spot for her. And I'm very curious to see how this is going to play out here for Kim and for this tribe. We saw in the preview that two tribes are going to tribal council next week. So odds are we're going to see this tribe at tribal, and we're going to see Kim essentially make her decision about which side she goes with. And I'm kind of leaning toward, I feel like she might side with Jeremy and Denise. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's going to jump ship. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah. And I feel like it's probably the right move.
I
think something to consider, right, is that Dekal was a very cohesive tribe. Apart from Kim, they were all really tight and they were really wanted to work together. Dekal strong. They were going to, I imagine the plan is stick together with Dekal through the swap, come to the merge. We'll have the numbers. We'll stomp down old Sele. So the problem there for Kim is that she's on the bottom of that whole group, or seemingly was on the bottom of that whole group. So flipping here seems like a good idea, especially because Sele was very fractured and there's a lot more places to fit in there. The problem is if Dekal does go into the merge with strong numbers and they are still Dekal strong, then she might just find herself on the wrong side of a majority at the merge. And it doesn't matter that she's in a good spot in the minority because they're all going to get voted out one by one. So I do think there's still a chance she sides with Tony and Sandra in the hopes that she can work some way into Dekal when they have a majority come the merge. So but I don't know enough about the dynamics to really be able to analyze like what her decision is going to be.
The thing that's always weird about Survivor to me, maybe you can explain this to me. People put so much clout on these like bullshit tribe associations when it's just so random. It has nothing to do with anything, but it's like you get randomly thrown into this group of people and then the group of people gets mixed up and a strategic mind would go, okay, new game. Doesn't matter. These people were nothing. It was randomly assigned in the first place. Who gives a fuck? But nobody ever does that. So now you have these like fractured tribes that now go, oh, well, there's three of us and two of them, but it shouldn't be us and them anymore. It doesn't matter. It was not like there was no reason that there was an us or them in the first place, except you fucking held your hand out and a colored rock was in it, you know, and you go over there and you go over there. Like, there's just so much. There's like too much importance on these random tribes, I feel. She should strategically jump ship. That would be the strategic thing to do and go, I don't care if I was with these people because my bandana said I was. It doesn't matter. doesn't make sense strategically to stay with them, right?
It's human nature, though, isn't it? Like, you know, you're born in a certain country to a certain
people are family. Humans. Like, the reality TV stars. They're not like us.
Like, you are
loyal. Brains don't work.
You tend to be more loyal to whatever you're randomly assigned to. And it doesn't always play out that way. But I think it's also just like, you know, it's something that exists outside of yourself, right? It's a colored bandana. It's a colored buff. And because it's this color, we all have this color, right? Whereas if you try to not go that way, you have to come up with something else to bond you. And so it's just a very easy way of delineating, you know, things and for people who are in control to control the rest of the people in that group who just want to feel secure. Right.
I just think there's more obvious things than like a bullshit tribal bond. Someone said it in an earlier episode, like they made a little snide remark about whoever had like a statue erected of them on an island. But it's so true. It's like this girl had a fucking statue of her. Vote her out. Like, she's obviously a huge. I don't know. I just feel there's like, don't stick with people like that who are like these obvious. I don't know. I shouldn't play Survivor. I don't play Survivor. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't even know these people's names, a lot of them.
I mean, any player should be, you know, looking at all of their options, right? And somebody, you know, I think somebody like Kim, I don't think she's going to, if she sides with DeCall, I don't think she's sticking with DeCall because she cares about DeCall or those people. I think she's just looking at, well, if those people do stay together, then, you know, this is my best route forward.
And she was kind of a smart winner, right? Like, she was like,
she was considered one of the best.
That. Yeah, yeah. So shout out to she'll do the right thing.
Yeah. All right. So that's where Kim stands here. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. We're going to move over to New Cele, and the new blue.
What color? Blue.
Okay. Yes. Nick gets some more confessionals. He says this is a perfect swap for him. He's super tight with Yule and Wendell, and they have the numbers advantage. So he feels like he won the lottery.
And he's all horned up, too.
Yeah. He also he's on the tribe with Parvati, who we just talked about. He had a crush on her in high school. God. The conversation he has with Parvati about this too, it's like, sorry, Nick, but this felt to me like the kind of conversation where like he wanted to bring it up, but acted like he had to because he had already said it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, people are going to tell you this anyway, but so I have to tell you, even, oh man, it's so awkward. I don't want to tell you, but I had a crush on you in high school.
This is the kind of shit I want live feeds on the islands for, because I feel like there was more than they could have shown us in the edit that would have just been a little more entertaining in this whole realm.
Parvati looked over to the camera when she said that, like, just like, oh boy. And then she tells us like that. So that was awkward. And she very much did not enjoy that situation. But Parvati is very much on the outs. The second I saw this tribe, I said, Parvati screwed. Because she's on the bottom. Parvati, considered to be one of the greatest winners of all time, on a tribe where she's in the minority, and the other person that's in the minority has a pre-existing relationship with somebody who is in the majority. It's not a great or a pre-existing relationship, but it's something. So if that tribe goes to tribal, I don't see how Parvati survives it. I have no idea how she would possibly get out of that unless she somehow gets an idol, which doesn't seem particularly likely. Although she's going to have a few fire tokens to play with. So who knows?
Those fire tokens.
Yeah.
Do something.
So she talks about needing to make personal connections. I love seeing the segment because this is exactly what makes Parvati so good, is that she's immediately getting to work, connecting to people on a personal level. She's talking to Yule and Yule's like, oh, you're my wife's favorite. And she's talking to Nick and she's pretending as much as she can that she's not creeped out by the fact that he had a crush on her in high school. And she tries to talk with Wendell. And I thought this was interesting that Wendell seemed like he had like a wall up. Like Wendell kind of stonewalled her, and she couldn't really connect there. And she also talked about how this whole Michelle and Wendell thing is very awkward. That it didn't seem to end well, and now they're here together, and she just has to kind of watch this play out.
But it's only awkward because of the crazy chick. It's not odd. Wendell is just like, I feel like he doesn't give a shit. It's so great. The whole thing's great.
I feel like Wendell made it. I felt like Wendell made it awkward because
really.
Well, so we get this conversation between Wendell and Michelle, and I thought Michelle was kind of just like, I mean, it's a little aggressive maybe, but I thought she was kind of being a little bit playful, like, ah, you're stranded here with me, like, didn't think of that when we started the relationship, right? But he's just kind of just like, yeah, like he doesn't want to talk
exactly.
To her.
That's the reaction, because that's very telling, Taryn. We don't know what happened, but we have an idea from that specific reaction that she did some crazy shit, I feel like.
I feel like maybe it's an indication that he...
Because I've had that reaction around girls before, like similarly, and I know what the girls that I had the reaction on, what the things that they've done or said, and I get this. I understand.
Okay, so you can relate to Wendell.
I can relate to Wendell. Wendell just wants to ignore it and get her into tribal and get her out probably as quickly as possible with zero contention. She thinks he's in love with her. It's nuts.
Well, I got the sense. I had a different read. My read was that he was like he got into this relationship with her, decided he didn't want to be in the relationship with her. She was hurt by it. And now she's here and he's just like, can I just pretend she's not here? But that's what makes it awkward, right?
I think we're saying the same thing in different ways. Maybe. Because I kind of agree with what you said. I feel like that's what I think too.
Okay. He says this, and I didn't even understand what this was. She was like, so is this going to be awkward? He's like, nope. Like, I can't even replicate how awkward the nope was. It was the most it was the most awkward possible nope he could have noped. And then he says this thing. I quoted it. I don't understand what he meant by this. He says, you don't need me to be talking to you first thing on this island. And she goes, okay. Do you understand? As somebody that can relate to Wendell's position, do you understand what he's saying here?
That was probably a dick thing to say. I would agree that that was, he could have handled that a little nicer. But we need the story. We need a backstory on this. We need like an RHAP undercover exclusive. When they get out of the house, we need them both on here, like a Dr. Phil kind of thing. I want all that. You guys, I know, are all in this for the competitions and strategy. I want all the romance trash drama of Survivor. Well, okay,
so we then get another. I have another quote from Wendell. Okay, this is Wendell in his confessional, and he is very shaken by this whole thing. Like he is, I feel like he is not handling it well. In particular, he goes, so there are people. This is the season of like histories and past relationships. That this could be the theme of the season, past relationships. And then you have people who might have hung out together. Me and Michelle kicked it. You know, we kicked it before. So yeah, everyone has pre-existing relationships here. And yeah, some of mine will spill over into this game.
We gotta know, Tara. We gotta find out. There's so much going on here.
What was he saying?
I don't know.
That could be the theme of this season, past relationships. The theme of the season is it's all winners, dude.
It's all winners.
What are you talking about?
They didn't tell him. He's still trying to figure out the twist. They never told him.
And he's like,
what is our connection? I know everyone here has something in common. Yeah. If I could just pinpoint it.
He's trying to act like this is totally normal. Everybody has, you know, past relationships. And I guess theoretically, you know, Ethan and Amber did date, right? So they're technically exes from like 20 years ago.
We've all been to the same stupid reality events.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. Wendell, I feel this confessional was not great. Not great, Wendell.
or the best. I mean, depending on your take.
Yeah, that's true. Michelle says Wendell kept his distance and she's not surprised because that's how he handled the relationship in the first place.
See those comments? It's a kooky comment. Wendell can just let it go. You don't hear Wendell saying that shit in confessional. He's playing a game. He says confessionals are about the game.
Well, Wendell's the complete opposite. He's trying to pretend this doesn't even exist in the confessional.
Yeah, exactly. It's out of sight, out of mind. It's a smart thing to do.
He says, she says he's sending the U up text and she just wants to be like, new season, who dis?
See, that's crazy because she's not like she really thinks she's like that, and she's exactly the opposite.
I was a little confused by that comment because it felt like it was the reverse of that. It felt like she was saying you up and he was like, new season, who dis?
Yes, but she's kooky. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's my point. I don't why Wendell is like, oh no. That's why it wasn't like, I get him, I feel you.
Okay. Parvati's like, wasn't it his fault that things went sour? And Michelle says, yes, it was. He thinks he's such hot shit that's I guess the reason things went sour. He broke her trust in real life and hurt her. So you know that's good. She got burned dating him. So how can she separate her relationship from playing the game? And she wants to separate her relationship from playing in the game, and she wants to take him out, or she will take him out if necessary. So she feels like, this guy burned me in real life. Why would I trust him to not burn me in the game?
Look, I'm Team Wendell. By and large, I'm going to say I'm not some misogynist. I oftentimes think guys are just huge assholes. I get this. But in this case, man, she is she's loopy. She is. And I'm Team Wendell.
I'm Team Michelle on this one.
Let's see how this plays out, sir. This will be interesting. Have me on later.
I also feel like I felt like we were being... It was being portrayed as it was being portrayed from Michelle's perspective, like she is the protagonist in this story, right? So I feel good. I feel good being Team Michelle. I feel confident.
All right, let's see. I respect you there.
Yeah. All right. So we move over to Yara, the new green tribe, and Ben says that in theory they should be good. But because they have the numbers, but he's there with Rob and Adam, and he just can't get away from them. They suck. They both blew up his game. He doesn't want to work with either of them. So that sucks. We immediately see them talking, and we see Sarah blaming Tyson for Amber's elimination. Right? Like she's like, oh, it was gonna be a unanimous vote this way, but then Tyson switched the vote to Amber. So it's basically Tyson's fault. Rob, don't hate me. Don't kill me. Yeah, Sarah talks about she didn't want to swap, but she does have the steal a vote, and she doesn't want to have to use it if she doesn't want to. And so this, for me, the second she said that, I was like, oh, that's it. It's over. Like, if this tribe loses, they have the majority. Yeah, and then in the next scene, we hear Sophie say, I have no interest in working with Rob. And I was like, okay, so yeah, Rob is done. Just steal a vote. They want to vote Rob out. He has no idol. It's over. Like that's it. So where else are we going to go here?
Yeah. It's just waiting to see if they do or don't win immunity. And as soon as they didn't win, I mean,
yeah. So Sarah says you can feel the tension. And then we see clips of Ben, Adam, and Rob all talking about how they're not very tight. Sophie pitches to Adam. She says, I have no interest in working with Rob. I think that, you know, you could work with Sarah and I, that we could all work together well. And Sophie tells us that she's worried that, that they're going to realize that their best option is to stick together. But basically what they're trying to do is get Adam and Ben to turn on Rob so that they don't have to play the steal a vote. And this is where I got a little mixed up in the episode, because the second they started talking about like, well, what if we don't use the steal a vote? Then things could go wrong. I was like, obvious fake out. Why wouldn't they use the steal a vote? That would be so dumb. Why would Adam and Ben not force them to use some kind of advantage? Why would they put themselves in a 2-2 situation even if they didn't know about the steal a vote? Obviously, the steal a vote's going to be used. Rob is going to go home. Super obvious. But they actually weren't tricking us. This is actually what was happening. When I went back and watched it, I was like, actually, they told us literally everything and they weren't lying. Like, usually this is a lie to make us think that something might go wrong. But this was actually a very straightforward elimination in terms of what they told us. So Sarah genuinely didn't want to have to use it. And so they worked on Adam and Ben to flip them over to their side. And we'll find out later that they were very successful at that. But first, we do have an idol hunt. And Rob tells us, I'm bad at idols. I found one with like 4 clues. I'm not used to being in this spot. Tough season, tough game, tough players, good players, smart. I underestimated them at first. I won't make that mistake again. Yeah. Sophie ends up finding the idol while he's talking in confessional. I thought that was an interesting touch. She says she's never been able to read Sarah, but she thinks giving her half of the idol, because she has to give half of it away like all the other ones, has actually made Sarah feel that she can trust Sophie all the way to the end. And that might actually be more valuable than the idol itself. So a lot of information packed into these quick segments here, that Sophie is bonding with Sarah, feeling like Sarah trusts her a little bit more. Sophie now has an idol, and they're trying to work on Ben and Adam. Matt, I have to, like, if you're Ben and Adam in this spot, yes, Rob is annoying, whatever, a target, but the move is not to flip, right?
Oh, see, I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. How much longer do they have this? Sorry, forgive my survivor. I don't know tons about this kind of stuff. How much longer do we have until like everyone's together?
So I would have. I think that what's going to happen is that there's going to be 2 more tribals, and it's probably just going to be next week 2 tribals, but in separate tribes, because 2 of them are going to tribal at the same time, right? Or not the same time, but in the same episode. So my assumption would be we swapped with 15 players, 3 tribes of 5. We'll probably merge at 12, which means 3 people are going to be eliminated before we'd get down to the merge.
And Boston Rob is not like an individual immunity beast by any means, right?
No, I mean, he's okay at competition. He's good at like team competitions, but he's not like, especially lately, like the nowadays individual immunity is like balance on one leg and hold up a ball. Like that's not Rob. So I'm not overly concerned about Rob, stomping to the end.
Yeah. You know, letting him get to the merge. Yeah. Now that you say that, you're probably right. Cause he'd be an easy vote out and probably a meat shield. You know, people would want to vote him out and would have an easy time doing so as well if they did choose to want to do that.
Yeah. So my primary concern, if I'm Adam or Ben, is there's 5 people on this tribe. There could be at least 3 more tribals, or 2 more tribals after this one. So if that's the case and Sophie and Sarah are really tight, which they didn't seem to claim to not be, then we could, all 3 of us could just go out 1-1, 1-2-3. If we don't stick with our numbers, if they vote out Rob again, even if they don't, because I assume they don't know about the vote steal. Assuming that there's no steal a vote and that they don't realize that it exists, then at best they're still going into the next tribal 2-2. And so one of them is probably going to flip on the other. And so for one of them, it's almost definitely the wrong move. and then even that one person is now 1-2 at the next tribal, assuming that they don't go to it. You might be okay there, but what if they do? And now you're out again. Like, and what did they benefit from it? Like, if they had stuck together, they could have survived pretty convincingly all the way. And then if they had gone to 3 tribals in a row, once it comes down to the 3 of them, Ben, Adam, and Rob, then they can vote out Rob, and it's the 2 of them that survive, right? So,
yeah,
I didn't love it. I didn't love it.
You're right. Yeah, not a huge benefit if merge is still a few travels away.
Yeah, I guess what they're trying to do is set themselves up for the merge, get in with some people in Decal, and maybe that will work out for them. But I feel like it is a big risk that they're mm-hmm. taking here. All right, so we get to the immunity challenge. Nothing of too much consequence going on here. Yara is going to flub it here on the puzzle that Sophie and Adam were on the puzzle. I was like surprised to see Adam and not Rob on the puzzle. Rob is like famous for being good at puzzles.
Oh, is that his thing?
Struggled a little bit this season. And Sophie is famously very good at puzzles. So I thought surely the two of them together will dominate this. But Rob wasn't even there. And then they kind of messed it up and they lost.
That seemed easier on the scale of Survivor puzzles, too, I feel like. Sometimes they get super difficult. I'm watching them going, how the fuck did this take forever? This seemed like a pretty low-key one.
Yeah, I wonder if it was so sort of simple that they just kind of were guessing. Like, they were just putting them there and then being like, does it work? Nope. Does this work? Nope. Does this work? Nope. And then if that's the case, then it's just a matter of luck and they might have just been out of luck. But Rob tells us right after the challenge, he says, this is going to be easy. It's just a matter of deciding which of the two we're going to send home. And this is, I literally tweeted this out. I was like, Rob's done. Rob's gone.
Oh, you know, I don't mean to harp on poor Michelle that I've picked on enough, but did you happen to notice, because it's so great, when they won the challenge, the immunity, because it was the Wendell dude, like, did so he solved the puzzle. It kind of was at the end, right? And they go and everyone's cheering and everyone's hugging him and he totally ignores her, and the whole time she's like basically hanging on his back, like trying to like pat on his back. He's not even there. There's a woman, you know, patting you on the back, and he's oblivious, acknowledging every other person on the tribe but her, and then eventually she just kind of turns around and walks away the whole time. So it's great, you know, she's like, I don't know, I love the two of them.
It really does feel like Wendell's perspective, it's like, this is the all winner. This was my opportunity to go on all winners and be the best winner of all time and win $2 million. And I've got this ex here, and I didn't want to be with her in the first place, and now she's here, and I really regret this whole thing. I don't think that's the best way to play it, though.
I think it's more like the first half of what you said is right, but then instead of going like, oh, it's my ex, I don't really want to be here anymore, I think he's just like, oh, she's here, all right, whatever, I'm just like not factoring her into my game, you know, she's just,
oh no, he seemed way too uncomfortable to just be like, I don't think he's nonchalant about it. that confessional where he's like, so there are people here, and we kicked it, okay? Like, it's like, okay, I felt like he was uncomfortable.
Team Wendell.
All right, well, we get to the strategizing here for Yara. Sophie tells us that she feels the game slipping through her fingers because she's concerned. And so Sarah says she feels comfortable with Adam and Ben and the plan that they made. And Sophie says Adam and Ben have really convinced her that they want to work with them. So this is what I tweeted out last night, that a lot of people were talking about, Boston Rob implementing the buddy system, obviously that's gonna backfire, what an idiot, the buddy system failed, but it seemed pretty clear to me even at the time, like, they had already come up with the plan prior to the buddy system happening. Like, prior to the challenge, the plan was in place that Rob was gonna go home already. Like, mm-hmm. he was already done at that point, Sarah felt so comfortable with the plan that she didn't even use the steal a vote. And they apparently hadn't talked that whole day. So they had clearly, in the previous days, talked quite a bit about making sure that this is where they were going to go with the plan. And as I watched it back, it was very clear that that was the case. They talked about how Adam and Ben were very convincing, that they convinced her that they want to work with them. And then we get into the buddy system happening. Buddy system, I called it buddy system 2.0, but they called it buddy system on steroids. Adam and Ben tell Rob they're with him. That's a lie. They're not with him. They're just pretending. This whole thing is Adam and Ben just pretending they're with Rob to keep him quiet. Hopefully, you know, maybe convince him that he's not going to go home if he has an idol or something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, like, the whole time Rob's thinking he's watching them, it's them probably more watching Rob. It just kind of babysitting him.
Exactly. And so like the whole buddy system thing was completely irrelevant to the outcome. The outcome had been decided long before this happened.
Did I hear you say you rewatched this? You watched this twice?
Yes. And well, I watched it the first time to watch it, and then I watched it again to take notes.
God, you are so much better at this shit than me, man. You do this with every show you podcast about?
No, just Survivor. You know,
incredible.
Big Brother, I'm just always taking notes.
Master of your craft, sir.
So thank you. So really I think the only thing that the buddy system actually influenced was that it just made Sophie and Sarah a little bit less sure about the plan moving forward, because they didn't have a chance to confirm with Ben and Adam. So if anything, it might have gotten Sarah to play the steal a vote when she didn't need to. Ultimately though, it didn't happen. Rob says, in order to prevent us from all being sketched out, we should just sit at camp, not have any other conversations. And Adam is just like, this is so boring. I'm so annoyed. Ben says, Rob has just wanted to control everything from the start. I just need to trust my gut. Sarah tells us she would feel a lot more comfortable if she could have an actual conversation with Adam and Ben to confirm the plan to vote out Rob. And then they say that the plan is to vote out Rob.
Put yourself in Rob's mind. Like, if you're Rob, what are you thinking? Are you thinking this is really working? Or are you going like, because I think like Rob's better bet. If I'm Rob, like if I am in Rob's head, I don't even think the whole like buddy system thing. I think you'd be better off trying to strategize and figure something out. I don't know. It just seems like a really poor gameplay to have executed that at that point in time. Based on his position in the game, he would have been better off trying to like social game it, I think.
Right. Well, I mean, I am assuming that he had two days of time to try to work something, and it wasn't working. Again, the first thing we saw from Sophie was, I have no interest in working with Rob.
Well, okay, no, this is, again, now I'm saying coming from Rob's perspective, who has no idea there's a steal vote. He has no idea there's like idols. He just knows what he knows, but he does know his position. I think like, Not that he could have saved himself. He couldn't have. He was toast. But I think the decision to just like put everyone on lockdown was the worst of options, I feel.
Right. And so like, I think this is what I find interesting, right? So I think that most players in this situation, where their allies want to turn on them, the other two people have no interest in working with them. Now, remember also that he's dealing with a massive reputation. There was no chance that he was going to win this game. Like nobody was going to let him close to the end. Right. So he's dealing with that. And because of his reputation, the other two people from the other tribe have no interest in working with him. The two people he's with have no interest in working with him because of everything that happened on the Sele tribe, which you can attribute in part to how he played on Sele and the outcome there. Although if he had been swapped with Jeremy and Michelle, I think this would have been a very different story. So there was a bit of bad luck there. But most players, I think, in that spot would start to try to, you know, pitch wherever they can. I will be loyal to whoever pulls me in. I'll be with you, Sophie.
He should have done Rob's funeral. I think that would have saved him.
Right. But Rob approaches the game in a pretty unique way. Most people don't look at it this way, and it has been pretty successful for him in the past. But we've seen that it either works and he either wins or comes close to winning, or it doesn't work and he's out. Right. And that seems to be Rob's game. And people say that it's not adaptable, and I think that I understand where that's coming from, but I disagree with that analysis. I think that it's flawed. Like, I agree that it's flawed, but I don't think the flaw is that it's not adaptable. I think that it's a style of play that adapts in a certain way, but the other style of play, the anybody but me style of play, is similarly rigid by itself and then adaptable within that style, right? Like most people have a certain style of gameplay and they adapt within that style. Rob does the same thing. It's not like he is always doing the exact same thing no matter what happens. He has relationships with people. He talks with them. He offers different plans. He lies in different ways. He structures his alliances in certain ways, depending on the situation and depending on the people. The difference is that he is just always going to be playing out front, and he doesn't like to do a complete reversal. Like most players, like Adam, doesn't really play out in front like Rob does, and that's not because he's not adaptable. It's just because that's not how his game works, right? So it's I think a similar thing with Rob, where like Rob can't pretend to be meek. Rob can't pretend to be like, oh, I'm just here, just drag me along, I don't even care. Like he's Rob, and if he does that, you're gonna see through it. It's not doesn't fit his style of play, and it's not gonna work for him. Whereas if he tries his thing and it works, which it was on Sele off and on, but it seemed like he was able to get in a decent position by the end, then it works well. And if it doesn't work, it's not going to work. And so I feel like there's just a lot more nuance when it comes to analyzing Rob's game than I'm seeing. A lot of people are just like, ah, buddy system 2.0 loser. I feel like there's a lot more that can be learned from his game. I find it so interesting.
Yeah, you've definitely deep dove on this more than I have, I guess. I just thought he was. Yeah. So you're in support of. Did you think that was the right player?
No, you did not. Yeah, to be clear, I also am critical of the game, just in a different way. I think that obviously he misread the situation. He thought that if I can just prevent them from talking to Sophie and Sarah, then they won't be able to confirm anything, and they'll just have to vote with me, and it'll be all right. Which I think could have worked if they hadn't solidified something in the previous couple of days on that tribe, right?
Yeah, no, I know a thing or two about misreading situations. I follow you.
But also, like, he talked about, like, I'm not going to underestimate these people again. I think introducing the buddy system in the first place was a mistake with winners. We're talking about people who won their season. They feel like they are good at the game. They have their own egos. And
Yeah.
And the audience, the people who watched Redemption Island, the season that Rob won, the cast of Redemption Island is the most maligned cast in the history of the show.
Oh, yeah. Is that true?
Because they're what idiots they are for buying into Rob's BS. I can't believe that they would the buddy system. They believed this nonsense. Like, so the fact that he tried to use it on winners, it was obviously going to piss them off. he should have seen that one coming, right? So that's what I think was obviously a mistake. But I think you also have to note that we're seeing somebody at their absolute lowest point just throwing anything they can against the wall because they're already in a do or die situation. And so, you know, usually when you see that, players just start to throw wild things around that seem crazy and they probably wouldn't do if they were in a better position.
Yeah.
So interesting stuff here from all of that. So they're all sitting at camp. Sophie gets her full idol back from Sarah. Sophie says, if Ben and Adam think this is a good way to play Survivor, they are dumb. She's getting pissed off at Ben and Adam because she can't get the confirmation that they're willing to vote out Rob tonight. And that means that Sarah might have to play her steal a vote, which is really annoying. So they're talking about that. Sophie said, I never thought I'd be in a situation where I'm relying on a wink or a thumbs up from somebody when somebody isn't looking in order to like know what to do here at Tribal. And we see Ben, like, I didn't catch this when I first watched. We see Ben
giving a thumbs up or something. Yeah. I love Sophie. I love that old tandem of Sophie and Sarah. Sophie and I had a bit of a contentious relationship during Reality Game Masters. I know that was a big scandal at the time, but we have since
forgot about that. Oh my God.
Oh, we never forget. Never forget, Sarah. but we have since, I believe, reconciled. And no, I think she was a great winner at the time, I thought. Even though she did not so good in Reality Game Masters, I think she'll do pretty good in this season of Survivor. And I like her with Sarah, too. And I didn't like Sarah as a winner her season, but I like them too, the two of them together.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit last week that the edit on Game Changers was just so dry. And everybody on that season talked about, like, Sarah, I thought she was my best friend. She was so warm. And I was like, we never saw that. But I feel like we're seeing that this season, like we're seeing the Sarah that won Game Changers, that like a lot of people are like, yeah, she trusts me, I feel so good with her. And they managed to, she's managing to do it with winners after she did it the first time. And so it's pretty impressive.
That's funny. You know, again, I'm not like the Survivor historian, and like, I know probably know more about Big Brother, but just in general, seeing winners play the same game versus kind of trying to switch things up, I feel like, even not winners, like when people go back in the game, I feel like I would have to, I'd like almost want to do something different. It seems like you could, people go back in and just kind of repeat the same thing. I don't know.
I think that most players do. I think that
they do. Yeah, they
do. I think that
do.
Not only do they try to repeat what was successful before, but I think that also like players just they. Something that I tell people for advice when if they are going to play one of these games is like, don't try to be something you're not, because it's not going to work. You have to play within your own bounds of like you, who you are. You need to know how people perceive you. And if you try to break out of that perception, then it's probably not going to work out too well for you.
Well, it's not so much. I'm not even saying like being a character, like you're still yourself and even the bounds of how you play. But like, for instance, you see it a lot when lower tier people come back, like people on any show that get evicted early, but then they, for some reason, they let them back on to play again. And they're way more aggressive. They're still the same right. player. They're still the same character, but they're like asses in the game. It's like a different kind of game, I feel like. And I don't know. That's more of the long lines.
That's kind of what I was getting to, where it's like I think that also applies to like strategy. Like some people just, they don't really have it in them to be the kind of player that like runs an alliance and dictates how things go. And like that is their strategy. And so you usually don't see that people will try to do that. But sometimes you do. And I feel like we kind of saw that with Adam a little bit earlier in the season.
Yeah, totally.
Where he tried to come in here and be like on a tribe with Boston Rob and Jeremy and Parvati. Like, no, I'm going to dictate. I'm going to be the leader of this tribe. And that's not who Adam is. And so it didn't work. Whereas when Rob tried to do it, it worked briefly before it failed. So it's definitely interesting to see like how people try to change things up over the course of time and whether or not it works for them. So we get to tribal. Adam says, you know, usually the first part of the game is just don't be terrible, but this season everyone's really good, and so nobody's like playing themselves out of the game except for maybe Danny. He didn't say that, but I said that. And so Jeff is asking like, are there any cracks in the alliance? And Sophie's like, it's not a crack, it's an opportunity. But no cracks, because we got like 7 words in the whole time. And Rob just says, you know, like, hey, look, there's another way to take this. People working together, or people together working together, works. And people go far that way. And, you know, he's right, but not if the people aren't willing to work, unfortunately.
These tribals, I've noticed, have been kind of cooler in this winter season. I feel like they're, I don't know. I mean, they're not like dramatic and crazy trashy or anything, but I think they just dive a little better into the discussions of the game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's all, you know, it's a bunch of winners talking about
it's cool
strategy in real time. So Sarah does not have to play her steal a vote. Sophie does not have to play her idol. And I will say kudos to them for, one, convincing Ben and Adam to flip over to their side without having to even expose the fact that they have advantages, seemingly. Because certainly if they exposed the fact that they had advantages, then they definitely wouldn't have gone along with this, right? And felt comfortable enough, knew well enough that they didn't have to use them, even when they really should have had to use them, right? So like doubly great there. Ben and Adam both seemingly here are going to vote Rob out of the game. And Rob is going to bequeath his tokens to Parvati. He says, make a run at it. I believe that means Parvati has 4 fire tokens now.
Are we keeping track? I don't know.
I think that's the most.
We'll just do a lot.
She might be tied with Natalie. I don't know.
Then what? then what do we do with these? Trade them in for Bitcoin? Are we going to be able, what happens?
Maybe that's how Parvati survives the tribe swap. Maybe she's able to buy an idol or something. I don't know.
See, if this were Big Brother, this is a total Grodner thing where she sets up some like bullshit twist with an incentive and they go, we'll figure out what it means mid-season when we need to know who we want to go home. But I don't think Survivor does that. I think Survivor has an idea of what these fucking fire tokens are. We just don't know.
Yeah. So there it is. We, you know, we already talked about this Ben and Adam decision. Theoretically, this could work out for one of them. Like if Adam was really the one that is going to be brought in with Sophie and Sarah, and Ben is the one that's going to take the hit if they lose again, then maybe we can say, okay, this was maybe a good risk for Adam, because they would have needed to go to all three tribals in order for Adam to go home. But it definitely wasn't a good move for one of them, because there's a very good chance that, that they're going to go to tribal again, before the merge, and they're screwed. One of Adam or Ben is screwed. We don't know which one yet, but for that person, they're going to look back at this vote and be like, that was a mistake.
Ben was kind of a bullshit winner. I feel like he has no shot this season.
A lot of people feel that way.
Oh, yeah. Is that true?
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to win the season, but I feel like he's not doing terribly. Although
he's not doing anything, he's just
this is probably the situation where he is the one making the worst call over Adam. I have a little bit more faith that Adam here is in the better spot. I think if they go to tribal again, Ben is the one that's going to be in trouble.
I think it's beneficial to be a shittier winner on an all winner season. You know, that's sort of the position I'd want to be in going into an all winner season. I'd want to be the shitty winner.
Yeah, I agree. You're seeing all of these, you know, big named winners go out one by one. All right. There were some secret scenes. So if you go to CBS.com, they have some secret scenes, additional scenes.
Did you watch each of these twice, too, or just only one?
Just once.
Just once. Yeah.
We got a scene with Michelle and Parvati, and this is really not going to help your perception here of Michelle, that they're talking about Wendell. She says, Wendell's so annoying. I thought it would be cool, but it's not. It's so uncomfortable. And Michelle really appreciates Parvati.
I'm sorry, can I stop you? I'm breaking this down. I thought it would be cool. Because in her head, she's going, we're going to have an island romance and get back together. And it's just nothing like she thought, because she's bonkers. Keep going, Terry.
All right. Well, she really appreciates Parvati being here for her in this situation. Parvati, very good at winning people over again. She says she's going to give that boy a reality check. Parvati asks Michelle, should we cut his hair with the machete while he sleeps? Should we drop him down the well or something? Michelle says that Parvati's her best friend out there. She really appreciates her.
Bond. Why do girls have to bond over being crazy? Why is that like a thing? You two guys like talking about like a scorned ex, should we go chop her hair off? Like no guy would, like it's fucking nuts, man. All right, enough for this girl. This girl's a total. See ya.
All right, I'm still Team Michelle.
All right. You're crazy too.
There's another scene on the Dekal tribe. They're gonna have to whip out Tony's ladder again to get some coconuts. and so now Jeremy and Denise are gonna get a chance to see Tony's ladder in action. Denise is worried for Tony's life. Jeremy says that his ladder is hilarious, so unsafe, so ridiculous. As a firefighter, this would not pass the fire code regulation. Not pass any codes. Tony tries to climb it, but it won't take his weight because it's at a bad angle, he says. It's the angle. So it's all the angles. It's the angle's fault. So Denise goes, all right, I'll do it. I'm lighter. So Denise climbs Tony's ladder. No. And Jeremy was like, I mean, Denise went up there. I was not going on that ladder. And Denise gets all the way up. She gets the coconuts down, and she gets down safely. And Tony says to Jeremy, come on, Jeremy, say something about my ladder. You ain't saying nothing.
I love Tony. I feel like we have not seen the best of Tony yet this season. Like he's got little spatterings, but there's going to be an episode. It's going to be very Tony centric and it's going to be great.
Yeah. Jeremy says to us in the confessional right at the end of this, he says, it's a relief being at Tikal. At Cele, it was like game at 100 miles an hour. At Tikal, it's comedy hour. And that's kind of been the story of the season, that Tikal has always been this very bonding place, which is so funny because it's Tony and Sandra, who are just such like hardcore gamers at times. But they're having fun. We have another scene with Tyson on the edge of extinction. Not a lot of humor in this one. This is a serious Tyson segment. He says it's like the pit of despair on Survivor being on extinction. There was a little bit of humor, though, because it's Tyson. And so he's talking with some of the other people on extinction, and they're like, this place builds character. And he's like, I didn't think I had any more character to build. I thought I was fine. I thought I was great. He's like, Survivor, this is the third time Survivor has humbled me. I don't know how much more humble I can become. I think I've reached my limit. But he says that he's staying there for his family. That's his motivation to get through. So Tyson there hanging in there on the edge of extinction. And then we just had a scene about like how bad the weather was, and they had to build a shelter at Yara and all that. It was a boring one. All right, so that's the episode. But there's one more thing that we need to go through here, Matt.
Sure, please.
I'm very excited to get your takes on this, because I call this the legacy watch. So people like to rank winners. Winners have legacies, right? Like some winners are the legends. Some are like top tier winners. Some are like bottom tier winners. And so what I wanted to do is track the legacy of the winners across the entire season to see how this season impacts their legacy as a winner of the show.
Well, I'm the perfect person to ask, and everyone knows. I can see in the chat room someone says, it's funny how little Matt knows. I'm the perfect guest to just talk all about the legacy of Survivor Series.
Exactly.
Let's do it, Taryn.
I think this is going to be fun, because you have no biases coming into
this.
No
bias.
You're fresh.
I'm biased against Michelle a little bit.
Yeah, that's
true. But other than that, I'm all right.
All right. So let's head into the legacy watch. This is where things stood previously. This is where we ended up last week. And so for those not watching the video, I will tell you here, we have in the legend tier, Rob, Parvati, and Sandra. Yule has jumped into the legend tier. Last week, he managed to get up into that legend tier.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Who ranks these? How do these happen?
The audience votes.
Okay.
Yes. And then in the top tier, we have Tony, Jeremy, Kim, Sarah, Sophie, Tony, Tyson, and Natalie, who managed to jump back up into the top tier after spending some time in the middle tier when she was the first one voted out. She managed to climb back up to the top tier after some good content on Extinction. Then in the middle tier, we have Ethan, Wendell, Michelle, Denise, and Adam. And then in the bottom tier, Nick had actually just barely fallen down into the bottom tier last week, followed by Ben, Amber, and Danny. So that's where things stand as of right now. But we have some new numbers this week that we're going to go through and see where things end up. So Rob was at the top, but I'm very curious to see where Rob goes from here. He did take a bit of a drop. Parvati is going to take over first place from Rob in the legend tier. She started in first at the beginning of the season. She got a pretty decent boost, from this episode. People liked the content they saw from her, getting to talk with people. She had been falling a little bit, I think mostly because she wasn't getting a lot of content. How do you feel about Parvati at the number one spot?
Is this based on like strategy, or just do we like these people? Whatever we feel like.
I mean, I think it's mostly strategy. It's mostly like, are they the best winners? But definitely like personality comes into it. Like it's about like,
and this is a week to week of this winners. Season of right. this season, which well, changes every week.
Well, it's like their overall legacy, and how their has this week impacted it? Or how has it changed?
Okay. Ah, I got you. Okay. So Boston Rob should shoot way down, probably, I would imagine, this week,
well,
right?
We'll see.
Oh, we're not there. Parvati, then, yeah, I mean, I don't know her legacy as much as Nick does, obviously. I guess she's all right. Everyone seems to think she's super cool, right? I hear her name thrown out all the time.
Yeah.
I guess she's good. Keep her up there.
All right. Sandra also is going to jump over Rob here in the second spot. She also got a decent boost from this episode. Not a lot of content from Sandra, but I guess she was at least in the episode. So,
yeah, I don't get that why what this episode had anything to do with it, but I love Sandra. I love her.
Yes,
she's great. I don't know. She's kind of a chaotic in a way.
Oh, yeah.
I think I enjoy that. It's.
As chaotic as your phone.
What is happening with this? Nobody.
All right. So after Sandra is Rob. He is still there in third place. He did fall pretty heavily. It was a big fall from where he was, but he is still very firmly in the legend tier in third place now. Not even that far behind Sandra, but he has taken a bit of a fall. And then in fourth, still Wendell, or sorry, not Wendell, Yule, who is here, still in the legend tier. He actually had a big jump up. So he's been flirting around the line between top tier and legend tier. After this episode, he saw a considerable boost, and is now firmly in the legend tier, though still in fourth place.
So he's, after this episode, Boss Rob is above Yule?
Yes, that still above Yule.
That seems. Does that seem right?
Rob has a history of four seasons, playing four seasons. Yule has only played one season prior to this. And there was some controversy over Yule's win because he had what they call a god idol, which means that he could play the idol after the votes were read. So there wasn't any like tricking him into not playing the idol.
Yeah,
so
you just wait until you get voted off and then you're not
exactly
voted
he
off.
Basically had like an extra life in the game.
Yeah,
and so people thought maybe he's not as good because he had that advantage. But I think over the course of this season so far, people are like, okay, no, he's doing really well. And then it's, I think as a character as well, he's getting some great content, and that is also helping boost his status, his legacy, here in the, in Survivor. So after Yule, we do drop down into the top tier, and we have Tony. Top of the top tier. Not any real movement from this episode. After Tony, we have Kim, who's going to jump over Jeremy. Kim got a huge boost from this episode. In fact, she saw the biggest jump up of anyone this episode. Kim started in the legend tier, but she's been down the top tier for a while because she's been on the outs. But now that she's the swing vote, people are feeling better about Kim. They're starting to feel like, okay, maybe she can get back in this. And so she's climbing her way back up. She might make it back into that legend tier. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Kim's a legend?
This whole chart thing is very arbitrary and confusing to me. Is there always seven people in the top tier? Like, how do we know? Or is it what bumps you up a tier? Is there only room for like four legends and seven tops?
No, it's according to like, so people choose, they go through each player and they choose legend, top, middle, or bottom. There's a scoring system.
Oh, and so, okay. Yeah. Okay. So then, okay. So Boston Rob, how many times did you say he played?
This is his fifth time playing.
Is there an argument to be made that just because they let you on a show that makes you a legend? You also lost four times, right? I mean,
here's his history of playing though. On Marquesas, as he said, he was in control of his tribe, but then got screwed by a swap. Bad luck. Maybe he wouldn't have won. Maybe he would have won, but he was doing okay. On All Stars, he dominated the game, got to the final two with his soon to be wife, lost to what we might call a bitter jury, but his wife won by one vote. And so he basically won the All Star season. Then in his third season, it was another All Star season, and he was in a very good spot to win. But Tyson actually kind of screwed him over with a dumb move and got him sent home pre-jury. And then the fourth season he was on, he dominated the entire season to the point where it's people's least favorite season most of the time because it was so obviously just a dominant performance to the fact that it was so boring to watch because it was obviously going to be him that was going to win the whole time. And so he has always been like a a solid contender to win every season that he's been in. But he either basically gets to the final two, or he goes out pre-jury. And that it, you know, it just goes one way or another. And he's a very large looming character, on the show as well.
Top tier. TLDR, he lost four times, right? I mean, like, how many chances do we give these people, right? I get that he did well, but I mean, fucking, he's like, he owns the game. He plays it over and over and over again. It's like those people who play, like, you know, I go on Call of Duty or something, I get shot immediately. I don't know what I'm doing. I lose because these kids sit up all night and play Call of Duty like fucking 3 a.m. and they don't go in and they miss school. And then I get in and they shoot me right away. Well, then he robs that kid. Of course, he play enough. Yeah, I mean, you're going to fucking do a little better than these other people who never get to play. Doesn't make you a legend. It makes you lucky to get a chance to keep playing this fucking game all the time. Top tier.
All right. Well, we'll see where he lands. We'll see where he lands at the end of the season. Sarah is after Jeremy. Sarah saw another decent boost forward. Sarah has been moving up over the course of the season so far. After Sarah, still Sophie, who saw also a big boost from this episode, that she is definitely moving up over the course of the season, which I'm very happy about. I'm very, very pleased. I really can't wait to see where Sophie lands. Tyson, after Sophie, stayed exactly the same after not seeing him in this episode at all. And then Natalie fell a little bit, but still in the top tier for now. So that is the top tier. Then we head into the middle tier, and Denise is actually going to see a huge jump forward. She's going to leapfrog over Michelle, Wendell, and Ethan to get to the top of the middle tier. She had a great episode, according to the audience, that they even though she's at the bottom of she's in the minority of her tribe, people really liked what they saw from her here.
She climbed that ladder too.
She did climb the ladder.
Yeah, people are into that. Yeah,
people watched the secret scene. They saw her climb the ladder. They're like, she's moving up.
This is it.
All right. After Denise is Michelle, who also saw a big jump from this episode, goes over Wendell and Ethan into the second spot in the middle tier.
Oh, what? Who's voting on this?
The audience.
You guys? You guys doing this?
It's them, yeah.
What's wrong with you? What are you doing out there? Stop. Stop.
After Michelle is Wendell, who moves past Ethan, but still fell a bit from this episode. Michelle moved up, Wendell moved down, and Michelle now ahead of Wendell for the first time, I believe, on the Legacy Watch. So, gotta watch out for that. Then we have Ethan, who actually took a big hit this episode. Really fell. He wasn't in the episode at all. I imagine this came from the fact that he saw a pretty big boost after the Extinction episode, where he was, you know, had the whole journey with the firewood.
Yeah, that was crazy cool.
And then I guess people kind of forgot that they felt that good about Ethan after not seeing him for an episode. And so he fell a lot. It was a big fall. In fact, it was the biggest fall of the episode. Just a little bit bigger than Rob's fall.
He needs to almost die on a mountain again
to
boost his rankings a little bit.
So then after Ethan is Adam, who saw a little bit of a boost from this episode, but not enough to really move the needle here. And then Nick saw a tiny boost, got him right out of that bottom tier. He's flirting with the line, but we finally saw a few more confessionals from him. And I guess having a crush on Parvati in high school was just enough to get him back into the middle tier.
Parvati was tweeting for everybody to vote for Nick. She was really in support of him.
So then we have the bottom tier here. Ben, who continues to very slowly move up. Ben started in last place. He's been slowly moving up in the bottom tier the whole season, but he started so low that he's still not particularly close to getting out of it. And then after Ben, we actually, for the first time, Danny is going to pass Amber be there in the second spot. She still fell. Danny fell from where she was before, but Amber actually fell kind of significantly after this episode. Again, she wasn't even in the episode. The people that weren't in the episode moved the most. People have weird perceptions, I guess. My theory on this Amber now in dead last is that when Rob takes a hit, Amber by extension, like, also took a hit here. I guess that's the only explanation I can come up with.
Do Rob and Amber have a hashtag? Like, you know,
Romber.
Is that it? A lot of Romber fans. Is that really it? Or are you making that up?
I'm pretty sure it's Romber. I don't know. It's been a while since they were on a season together. people really felt, I guess, you know, when Rob seems bad, it rubs off on his wife.
Amber.
Yeah. And that's the legacy watch for the week.
How many times has she played?
This is her third time. Yeah. Her first time she was, you know, did fine. Came back, dominated the game with Rob, won by one vote against Rob in the final two. And this is her third time. Yeah. Didn't do particularly well, though. So that's why she's pretty low. But that's what we have. Matt, well, what do you think? How do you feel
great.
Overall?
I feel good. I feel like I'm a little more of a Survivor fan now. I got some knowledge to take back with me as I watch the rest of the season. I'm excited. I think we do need to catch up later on as the Michelle and Wendell saga unfolds later in the season and see where yours and my alliance is in this battleship.
I think Michelle's going to get the better of it. That's my call.
I don't know, Taryn. I don't know. I think Wendell's the loser in this situation, no matter what.
That's probably true. I mean... He fell in the legacy watch because of this second tier. So
I can't believe that.
The dirty dancer in the chat says the hashtag should be that poverty girl.
I don't even know why that's funny, but yeah, let's do it.
All right. So to anybody that finds this ridiculous or reductive or arbitrary, you guys are the ones voting. So you can't blame me.
I'm going to start voting. Where do I get? How do I do this? I don't even vote for our president. I'm going to vote for this.
Oh, boy.
What do I do?
I tweet out the survey every week right after the episode. So.
Do you? All right. I feel I know more about this than I do about politics, so I'm better off voting on this thing. This is somewhere. At least I watch this shit.
Yeah, well, I find it interesting in the sense of like just trying to understand how the audience reacts to what is essentially the edit, because they very rarely react to the actual game that's happening. It's almost always in reaction to the edit that we're shown from the episodes. And I think it's really, you know, you always kind of knew that the edit makes such a huge difference in your legacy when it comes to how you are as perceived as a player. But I think what I'm seeing here is that it really does have a massive influence over how people see you.
Yeah, this is as I'm looking at this chart here. You should have you done something like this with the Big Brother? Oh, I guess you need all winter season for the Big Brother people, right?
Well, maybe we'll get one.
I feel like a lot of bottom tiers. bottom heavy list.
I do feel like a Big Brother winner chart would have like a different. It would look a little bit more like you know,
lots of bottoms. And plus, yeah, like the people vote. Like, you get Survivor fans. There's some respect to the players. Big Brother fans are just like they shit on everybody. So yeah, like, they're everybody's bottom. Everybody sucks. You know, it's like the typical BB fan.
And I'll say this too, though. That I'm talking about the importance of the edit. I think that part of the reason why a lot of Big Brother winners are seen as bottom tier winners is because we got to see the feeds, and there couldn't be an edit that kind of looks over their faults, right?
That's a very good point.
So we'll see. But this was fun, Matt. Even though you hate Michelle,
I don't hate her. I'm afraid of her. I would not want to poor Wendell.
All right, well, like I said, I stand with Michelle. I do not endorse any anti-Michelle sentiments.
I'll see you later in the season, my friend.
All right, well, thank you for joining me, Matt. I'm excited to be back next week to talk about the Winners at War season of Survivor. It's still surreal to me that we're even talking about an all winners season like this.
That's cool.
Yeah, I really can't wait to see like the ultimate results of what we see with the Legacy Watch and what happens. I feel like we're definitely in for massive changes to how we see the entire history of the show. Basically,
$2 million. Can you believe that? It makes Big Brother seem like extra cheap. They always were like kind of cheap out, and now it's just like sticking it to them.
Big Brother US this year is going to give away $500,000. Survivor this year is going to give away $3 million. And Survivor is going to Big Brother is going to last longer.
We're
going to
supersize the season 6 months in the house.
More days of Big Brother will have been played, and they will get 1/6 of the total prize money over the course of 2 Survivor seasons, which is less than 1 Big Brother season.
It's a free Corona quarantine. So they go, you guys are all safe at least. Only $500,000.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren if you want to take part in the survey. If you disagree with the results of the survey, that's your chance to change it. And
I'm going to take that chance. Now.
There you go. Matt, where can people find you if they want your hot Michelle takes?
Yeah. At Head of Hoffhold on Twitter. So go ahead and look for that.
All right.
It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Vote Wendell.
There's plenty of Big Brother Canada stuff going on. So if you want to check that out, I am live every morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens on the feeds of Big Brother Canada 8. No Brigade copycat this season, Matt.
No, we missed that. That was all last season. I'm loving BB Can though. BB Can's great.
We'll have
to rap about that sometime.
It's been very good so far.
I like it.
All right. So check that out. I'll be live in just a few hours to talk about the eviction episode of Big Brother Canada. First real eviction episode of the season. Plenty of stuff. We got the Stock Watch. We made a website for the Stock Watch that you can sign up for. The trading window is now closed for this week, but you can get in for next week if you go to realitystockwatch.com. And of course, check out all of the other great Survivor coverage that Rob has for you guys over the course of the week. He does such great stuff. So check it all out. Thank you for joining us. I'll see you next time.
Yeah, tearing back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taren and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual sees. Hey.